Hey everybody, this is Inquentro. It's Tuesday in the first week in ordinary time. We continue to pray for all of those who are currently being affected by the Omicron scourge. All of those who are ill, all of those who are suffering. We continue to ask the Lord to heal them and to protect all of us. Let's begin with a prayer of Saint Francis. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in forgiving that we are forgiven, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is taken from St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And his fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. I had a student a couple years ago, great kid, you know, and he kept presenting himself as this happy-go-lucky guy, you know, whom you'd never see studying. You know, he'd prefer to be seen playing basketball or hanging around, chatting with his friends and his classmates, you know, even during vacant periods, during class hours. So, you know, we would never see him studying, ever. You know, he did okay in class. You know, his grades weren't spectacular. I mean, they were mostly B pluses. So he was okay. He was all right, you know. One time, I was the dean of men back then, or what you call the prefect of discipline. And I was going to the dormitories late at night. This was way after curfew and lights out, when all the seminarians, you know, had to be in bed. You know, they had to be asleep so they can get up early in the morning. And I noticed, as I was walking through the darkened hallways, dormitories, you know, I noticed something flickering on the ceiling. You know, there was this very faint light that I could tell, you know, was coming from one of the rooms. You know, see, the student rooms at the seminary had walls that didn't go all the way up to the ceiling. You know, they were basically just dividers, you know, with doors for individual privacy. So I knocked on the door, and the light was quickly put out. So he comes out, you know, and he says, "Sorry, Father." I said, "Yeah, you should go to bed," you know. So I asked him, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I was studying." So I said, "Listen, you know, it's way past your bedtime. You have to get up early tomorrow morning for prayers and mass. You go to bed." And he says, "Well, I have a test tomorrow, Father." So I said, "Well, you should have been studying during class hours, you know, during vacant periods, during the day, you know, not at night when you're supposed to go to bed. So, you know, turn off that flashlight, go to bed." And he did. I asked that he see me the following day in my office. So, you know, the following day he was in my office, and he was, you know, he was very apologetic for, you know, breaking the rules the night before. And so I asked him why he was studying at night when he could have been studying during the daytime. And that's when he explained to me that he did not study during the day. And here's a true story. He did not study during the day because he wanted to maintain a facade of this happy-go-lucky kid, you know, who wouldn't study, so nobody would see him study, but he still did okay, you know. And that was the image he wanted to project. That was the image he was trying to carefully, create. You know, this guy who still passed and did relatively okay, but never ever studied, because really none of us ever saw him study during the daytime. So I said to him, but I said, do you realize that if you actually studied, you know, during study hours, you know, during the daytime, instead of wasting your time chatting with your friends and pretending, you know, that you're not studying, that if you actually use that time, you know, and if you only put an end to the charade, you know, you would actually get higher marks. Why must you put on this facade? You know, I asked him, I mean, why do you have to do this to yourself? You know, just be who you are. Just be who you are. You know, twice in the gospel today, you know, the people listening to Jesus are amazed, because as the passage says, he taught with authority and not like the scribes. You know, he taught with authority. It was a new teaching with authority, not like the scribes. Twice, the word authority is used, and twice the idea is the same. You know, there was something about Jesus, the way he taught, the way he conducted himself, you know, the way he healed, you know, the man with the unclean spirit. There was something about him, you know, that people didn't so easily find in the scribes, in the traditional teachers of Israel at that time. You know, there's something quite fascinating about that word that is used twice in the gospel, you know, authority. The original Greek, you know, and, you know, I beg your indulgence for, you know, doing a little bit of Greek here. I promise it's not going to be complicated. The Greek word that is used, the original Greek word that is translated authority, is exousia. Okay? Exousia, authority. Okay? Now, exousia, which is translated authority in the text, it is used twice. It comes from two Greek words, actually. Okay? Ex, meaning out of, and ousia, okay, meaning being, you know, being, who and what one is, okay, exousia, out of one's being, okay, that is the original sense of the word that is translated as authority, exousia, out of one's being, out of who and what one truly is. And so Jesus' authority came from his very being, you know, from who and what he truly was inside. It wasn't something that came from the outside. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the time, you know, they used to teach by quoting from, you know, from the scriptures, quoting from, you know, the scribes and the other teachers, from other scholars. Not so with Jesus. You know, Jesus spoke from something that was deep inside him, a conviction that was truly his own. And his teachings were expressions of who he truly was. This was no mere facade. You know, with Jesus, what you see is what you get. And what you hear him speak is true. And he truly believed it, because he lived it. You know, we must build, as St. Augustine, you know, used to encourage, you know, his readers, we must build from the inside out. The interior, says St. Augustine in his book, The Confessions, is far more important. The interior is far more important. It is superior, he says, to the exterior. The interior is more important than the exterior. Throughout his ministry, Jesus' constant teaching was that the outside and the inside must be consistent. You know, who we are externally must be consistent with who we are internally. You know, the absence of this consistency is what Jesus constantly rebuked as hypocrisy. You know, that's why he would call the scribes and the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Nice and pretty on the outside, but filled with rot on the inside. You know, I had a really good student many years ago, and you know, we used to chat, and he says, "Well, you know, Father, we're talking about this." He says, "Well, you know, I subscribe to the principle of fake it till you make it." And he's a great kid, and that's what he says: "Fake it till you make it, Father. Fake it till you make it." There's some truth and a sliver of wisdom to that. You know, I had a professor in college, you know, who used to, and he drilled this into my head. I don't know if my classmates still remember, you know, but, you know, he was a Toastmaster, and he was, in fact, the one who introduced me to the Toastmasters, you know. These people give speeches and, you know, try to perfect the art of giving a speech. But his line that he would always tell me was, you know, act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. And he would make me repeat that. Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. You know, when my student mentioned that to me, you know, fake it till you make it, I kind of remembered my college professor, you know. There is a sense in which what we are interiorly, you know, what we are feeling inside, what we are being, how we are feeling inside, you know, can be affected by how we act exteriorly. That is true, okay? And that the exterior does show, in some limited way, who we are on the inside. You know, externals are not unimportant. So when St. Augustine says that the interior is more important than the exterior, he's not saying that the exterior is unimportant. You know, he's not saying that externals are not important. You know, nobody would show up to a job interview looking like he or she just got out of bed. You know, nobody would do that. Also, you know, when sometimes we feel a little blue or maybe off on the inside, you know, I've known people do this to friends. They want to cheer up. You know, they do something fun, you know, on the outside. You know, the opposite of what's going on inside. They do something fun on the outside to change their friend's interior mood. Okay, so the exterior is not unimportant. It is important, you know. The way we dress or carry ourselves exteriorly does reflect, to a certain extent, our character, our personality, and how we view people in life. You know, a person who dresses like a bum, you know, is unkempt and disheveled, is most likely a bum at heart, you know? Or maybe he's just going through a rough time. Either way, as I said, you know, he will not show up to a job interview or to a formal function dressed in sweats. Nobody would do that. In spite of all this, though, you know, the fact remains that there shouldn't only be a consistency between who we are exteriorly and what we are interiorly. Okay. In fact, St. Augustine teaches what we are interiorly is always more important. Or as the author of The Little Prince, you know, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry famously said, what is essential is invisible to the eye. What is essential is invisible to the eye. It is what we are interiorly, what we truly are, who we truly are, that is what ultimately matters. What we are interiorly is what ultimately matters. It is what God sees. It is what He will judge. Never our external appearance. You know, back when I was a seminarian, I had this classmate who was so pious and devout, and I really admired him. And he was a truly nice guy. You know, I really thought that, you know, he'd levitate during prayer in chapel because, you know, he was just so much into prayer. You know, he was always so rapt when praying, which was never my experience when I was a kid. You know, I mean, I couldn't shut off my brain. You know, I was always analyzing things. I was always being critical of things. I was always dissecting every little thing that I saw or heard or read. You know, even spiritual reading books. You know, my brain was always, you know, going, you know, a mile a minute. I could never shut it off. And whenever I look at my classmate, you know, who was so wrapped in prayer and he looked so peaceful, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, why can't I be like him? So even back then, you know, I didn't know yet that line from, you know, my student, but I decided that I would fake it till you make it. You know, I figured if I only aped, that's the word I'm using, you know, if I only aped my classmate, meaning I imitated him, and if I aped him well enough, maybe, just maybe, the interior would follow. You know, maybe if I acted like him when the externally, maybe I would start acting like him interiorly, feeling like him interiorly, and maybe eventually I would be like him interiorly. I tried. You know, but no matter how hard I tried, I still wasn't the pious, devout, and spiritual young man that I wanted to be. You know? I couldn't shut my brain off. I was always analyzing things. I was always dissecting things. I simply couldn't become my classmate. Aping him didn't work. Imitating him externally so that I could be like him interiorly just didn't work. You know, I only ended up poking fun at myself. You know, I was starting to make fun of myself. Fake it till you make it didn't work. So I told my spiritual director, you know, a really great priest, God rest his soul. And he says to me, well, why in heaven's name would you ever want to be like him? He said, you know, that's what he asked. He said, well, I said, well, he's a great guy. And he seems very close to God. You know, have you seen him praying? I mean, the kid looks like he's in heaven. I'd like to feel that. I'd like to be that. And, you know, my spiritual director says to me, but that's him. That's not you. That's not how God made you. You can fake it all you want, but you'll never make it, because that's not who you are. That's not what you are. That is not what God made you to be. Jesus' power, his authority, and his ability to witness to the mission his Father gave him was all on account of the fact that he drew not from some external source, not from some facade, not from some fake or put-on mask. No, no. Jesus drew from within himself, you know, exousia, from his very being. And what was in that very being? It was the fact that, as we heard a few days ago, he was God's beloved Son, in whom the Father was well pleased. Do not seek to be anything other than yourself. You know, simply be who God wanted you and made you to be. Do not seek to be anything other than what God created you to be. Because it is not only how he created you, it is also how he loves you. And it is also how he would like to make use of you to continue his work here and now. Be true to yourself. Be yourself. God wouldn't have it any other way.